So I once worked, Chris, for this principal that a lot of people didn't particularly want to interact with. And when the principal would go outside for duty at the end of the day, it was a small window of time where if you wanted to get out of the building and not have to interact with this individual, you'd have to go while the principal was on duty. And there were a couple of times where I'd be closing up my locking my door and closing my door, and as I'm walking out because of where my car was positioned, people are running past me with papers flying out of their bag of work so that they could get into their car and take off before the principal returned back into the school because they didn't want to have to deal with this particular person leaving. And I'll never forget at the time. It's funnier now. It's funnier now because it was so comical. It was seriously something out of a movie. And I don't think the times that the papers went flying out of their bag, they didn't stop to get the papers. They just kept going. So it was like easier to lose one or two sheets of paper than it was to stop, get them, and risk
An interaction.
an interaction. And there were times. So if you miss the 15-minute window, then you probably have to wait maybe another 15 minutes. And people didn't want to do that because then it's like 30 minutes after, and people don't want to do that, right? So anyway, you got me smiling thinking about like literally running up the hall, papers flying, and me just like casually locking my door. And because I had positioned my car in a spot where I could walk out a minute before the duty ended and I just get in my car and drive away. But other people were deep in the lot, and so this person would see them leaving and then they'd get like the look, like they'd get like a look like, "You're leaving right away? Who does that?" This person would stay in the building until the custodian was done for the night, and then the custodian would walk them to their car, and they would go home. So they basically at the school from early morning until as late as they could be there with the custodian working, and then leave. So that was basically,
It's a long day.
that was, yeah, that was what they, that was their thing. That's what they were up to. I don't have to do that now, and I think a lot of people at my school are not leaving at a particular time to avoid the administrators now, but I can't say for sure, right? I don't know what people are thinking. I don't know how people are living for sure. But I've had to do that before.
Man. Imagine being the person that people want to avoid that badly.
They might like it. In a
And
weird
yeah,
way.
they might. You're right. You're right. Hadn't
They
thought of that.
might be like, "I'm glad nobody wants to talk to me because then there's no issue to deal with. There are no issues to deal with." This is the thing. This is that, it reminds me of that saying. If there's somebody that you don't want to talk to, lend them some money, and they'll avoid you for the rest of their life because they don't want to pay you back. And so you basically gave up $20 to have this person never bother you again. I don't know if you've ever heard that saying, and I'm probably not doing it justice, but it's like
I have never heard that saying,
there's a saying.
although,
Yeah, go ahead.
oh no, it feels like a saying, and there might be an anglicized version of it, but it feels like one of those sayings that has like I can remember when I was doing my apprenticeship in hospitality, and I was in my chef's papers. I was working in an Italian restaurant, and the family had so many so many sayings like that that were kind of bound to their lived experience, but also bound to their Italian heritage. And you sort of do the translation on it, and it never really sounded the same. There was something about the spirit of it that just didn't translate well. So that's what that reminded me of, that saying. Like, it sounds like something that maybe translated into English doesn't have the same, because everything they say, it was funny, some of the sayings they had were quite beautiful sounding, melodic in the way that they were said in Italian. You translate it into English and it didn't have the same sticking power. I remember I had this exact same moment when I was learning French, and the French that we were learning at the time was, as I was told, I don't know, I've never chased this one, but it was Parisian French. So there was an idea of French, proper French, not being the words that you would learn in Quebec, let's say, in similar fashion, proper English somehow being originated in the UK. It was that kind of a comparison. So there were some phrases in there that we learned, like I'll never forget this one. There's one, a phrase, facile comme bonjour. So it's like easy as saying hello. But you translate that into English and it doesn't, you're like, what? Okay, yeah, maybe. But this, and I can remember saying it. I remember even actually saying it when I was in Quebec, because I did French exchanges and people just giving me looks. Like, who is this guy? Like, what, he's speaking all fancy. It's like fancy French. But I also found out afterwards is because I was speaking Parisian French and I was in Baie-Comeau. And, you know, I didn't know the rules. I was just sort of speaking the French that I had learned. So that's what was kind of just making me smile when you said that one. I get the sentiment of it. And there might have been some people in my life that never, I lent them money accidentally. And I thought to myself, geez, I wish they would talk to me just so I could get my money back. I like that saying though.
Now that I think more about it, I don't think it's a saying. I think it was someone was bothered that every time they try to get to so-and-so to get their money back, so-and-so takes off. And then I think it's from a movie. And then somebody said to the guy, well, do you like him? And he's like, no, I hate him. He's like, then you're good for life. Like, you lent him $20 and now the guy avoids you at all costs because he doesn't have the money or doesn't want to pay you back. So you just paid him to leave you alone for the rest of your life. And I was like, brilliant. Brilliant.
Do you speak another language? Do you have a second or a third language that you can speak?
I used to be able to speak Arabic or Lebanese quite well. It's kind of gone now. And then my French was pretty good up until I left Ottawa. So I used to be able to speak French and Lebanese fairly well. Now it's gone. So now what I have left is I can understand, mm-hmm. but my responses are no good. Or it's funny because my brain hears what's being said to me. It's broken down so that I can understand it as best I can. Then my brain can't find the words anymore to respond to what was said to me. And it's really funny because when I'm helping my son with his school French, he'll say, okay, I got to do this activity, but I don't understand what any of these sentences mean. I'm like, read the sentence. And he'll read the sentence and he'll say, what does it mean? And I'm like, well, I can't translate it perfectly, but it has something to do with a bird and a tree type of thing. He's like, yeah, there's a picture here. And there's a tree and there's a bird in the tree nesting. And I'm like, well, that's what it means. But I can't, you know, I can't put my finger on it until I get more context or I understand it. I just don't know how to explain it to someone.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering about in Arabic, does your mom or any of the elders in your family or uncles have phrases or sayings that really work in Arabic, like, or just go-to phrases that they would sort of use, and you kind of go, come on, like, you almost see it coming, you know exactly what they're going to say, but it kind of starts in Arabic, could be translated to English, but definitely it's grounded in Arabic.
I would say yes.
Do you remember any of them?
No. But I would say yes. And it, not only are there words spoken, there's gestures.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, and like body language. There's this guy on Instagram and Facebook. Can't remember his name right now, but he does them like his whole shtick is this. I think he's in Montreal. So not only is he Arabic, but he's also French speaking. But it's funny, he'll say like, it's like, remember when your father used to do this to you? And then he'll like go bug in one of the elders in his family, and they'll respond with the look or the gesture that he was just talking about. It's pretty funny. We would even at family functions, we would sometimes, my cousins and I would stoke some of our uncles to get them to do these things that they would do automatically. And then we would just literally die laughing in a corner somewhere as we're watching uncle lose his mind. Yeah, good times that way.
I'm trying to remember. So my mom's side of the family, the Polish side, I've been thinking about that lately. Some of the phrases or the gestures that I would say, at least from my lived experience, were particularly Polish in nature. I got a lot of glares. There were a lot of glares. I'll say that. It starts there. I can easily say I got a lot of glares. And that usually, it was what made it kind of funny is it was glares coupled with laughing, a lot of laughing. It's funny because I almost have this positive negative effect, like not knowing whether or not someone was going to laugh at something that I did, or whether I was going to, like, it was going to be something worse. Not laughing. Not the beats, but like if I'd be in deeper trouble. But I was thinking about that this morning, how some things just don't translate well. Easy as hello.
Yes. There are things I do that my sons and my nephews, they push my buttons on purpose so that I'll do them. Mm-hmm. Like even the other day, my one son, he was getting up to leave the room. I said, can you pass me the remote control? And he comes up and he goes, take it away from me like you're mad. And I'm like, what? He goes, you know that thing you do when you're upset, the way you snatch it from our hands? Can you do that for me? I'm like, no, just give me the remote control. So it's funny because so we vacation with my nephews, my wife's sister's kids. We cottage with them in the summer. And I'll never forget last summer, I don't know, my oldest was doing something to really upset me. And then I'm like, why are you bugging me? And then I turn around and I look and I see my youngest and the two nephews standing there kind of hiding behind a corner waiting for me to lose it in a particular way that they enjoy watching. So my oldest comes to prime me to upset me on purpose so that he can put on a show for his brother and his cousins. So I look over and I see them and I'm like, go away. Why are you doing this?
Not today.
Laughing. Yeah.
Not today.
So everybody gets, it's funny because we talk about language, but then there's also there's the behaviors, right?
Yeah.
And students know it too. Like now you got me thinking about in class when a student does something completely ridiculous, I tend to give a certain look to certain students in the room. So Johnny will do something ridiculous off in a corner and I will stand in front of class and I will look over at Jenny and be like, Jenny, are you seeing this? Is this for real? And I always do it to Jenny. So everybody else in the room is like, oh, Mr. C's looking at Jenny. You know what that means? He's not happy about something. It's like
it's like your own personal episode of The Office.
Well, actually I'm going to go deeper. Johnny Carson, Ed McMahon. Remember Ed McMahon, his sidekick?
Yeah. Yep.
It's like I'm Johnny and Jenny's my Ed McMahon. So the kids know when I'm looking at Ed and I'm laughing and rolling my eyes, they're like, uh-oh. They know exactly what type of angry I am or what type of – they know exactly, depending on who I talk to, what I say and how I look, they can gauge my displeasure. Going from a joking displeasure to serious, everybody put your stuff away, we're having a classroom meeting, like we got a problem here. And I think, I hope that those are the things that they'll remember when they leave, because they're not going to remember the math and they're not going to remember the social studies, but they will remember my mannerisms and, you know, what pushes my buttons and what doesn't.
It's moments, I think, in that where students accidentally, like a couple of my students recently have said, both jokingly and reactively, thanks, Dad. And you get a true sense of where you just might have triggered them.
Right.
Right. Other times they say it intentionally. Like they'll say, I've had students in the Google chat say, you sound like such a dad. Or they're like, whoa, Clough, that was a total dad face you just had on. You know, so because I'm always cameras up. Always. So always be performing. So, but they'll kind of call me out on it. And I'm like, that's okay. I don't mind showing that side. It is funny that you see that. I think it's interesting to me that you see that in my, in the way that, you know, through the lens of Google Meet, I said, I'm happy that you noticed that. I said, because that is one of my intersections. I am a dad, so that doesn't get to disappear entirely just because I'm in class.
Right.
So
I turn off my camera when I share my screen to make sure bandwidth is good. But other than that, yeah, my camera's on.
Yeah, I do the same. I'll save bandwidth that way.
I'm like, okay, my camera's going off. I'm sharing my screen. They're like, okay.
Yeah. I like that. I like this. I like how we move from language to dad. Bandwidth. Can I throw down a topic? I'm curious about your
throw down your position. Topic. It looks like it'll be the last one for our podcast today.
Okay. So I've been watching on a couple different conversations kind of pop in on socials right now. And one of them seems to be, it's the topic is about, the topic was about the use of police with in order to enforce COVID law. And right now there's always good conversation there if you can find it, but part of the conversation around policing and policing certain communities, there's a person that I follow online that has always been kind of up for a good conversation. It doesn't back down much, if at all. Actually, I don't think I've ever seen them back down. They manage to just kind of talk their way through it and keep on talking. You know, these people sometimes online, they'll talk, never really feel like they're directly antagonizing, but they just keep talking about the topic. It's kind of a fascinating way to use socials. They'll kind of land, they'll share, maybe push back a little bit, and then other people keep pushing back and they kind of move on. They might return to it at some point, but you get the sense like they're happy to talk about it for a bit and they want to move on. In the course of this current conversation about policing communities, there are several anonymous accounts that are involved in the conversation. So that became part of the conversation as well, that anonymous accounts, there was the suggestion that anonymous accounts in general, so two of the anonymous accounts are declaring that they're in support of teachers and support of students and support of parents. They're sort of attributing their efforts in a positive way. But one account in particular is really hitting hard on this individual, because the individual said, we don't need support. Teachers don't need support like this. And it was very specific to some referencing that was in the anonymous account. I'm more curious just about your, I'll throw down quickly. So me, my rules for following in general is that I won't follow anonymous accounts. I just don't. If I can't tell, if I can't see the name, or if the name and the picture is such that it's not clear for me, I don't follow the account. I don't block them or don't mute them, but I won't load my feed up. And often, because of the circles I'm in, those accounts kind of pop out every once in a while. So I still get fed by them every once in a while. And that's how I came across this conversation. So I'm curious about your sense of the need. Sorry. Your opinion on the purpose and function of anonymous accounts. I'm curious about how you see them in the scheme of sort of like, let's say EDU support. Are they a necessary space? Are they an important space in EDU? And whether or not, those are the two. Those are the two. That's what it's got me thinking about. The one anonymous account really started, in my measure, started to flame up on this particular individual. There was a lot of swearing. There was a lot of name calling in it. I would call it bullying behavior. If not bullying, it's becoming bullying, I would say, because it's continuous. Like, it's kind of hitting some of the check marks for bullying versus just being aggressive. But I also know this anonymous account has mixed it up in other spaces and really pushed forward, I would say, a pro-education, pro-student agenda. And kind of nonpartisan for the most part. Like, they're not sort of on behalf of any particular political strain, just trying to keep education and kids at the center. So, yeah. Curious about your thoughts on anonymous accounts.
I see the good and the bad. Like, there's advantages and disadvantages to them. I know an advantage is that, I guess, people create them so that they can say what they want, feeling like they might not be able to say what they want if they weren't anonymous, which, like, that's a tough one, right? Because there's the camp that says, hey, if you can't say what you want to say, you need to look at that and figure out why that is the case. Why is it that you have an opinion and that you're not willing to share it when it's attached to who you are? And then there's the other camp of the system is built in a way that people who speak their mind can be punished. There could be, negative retribution if they say what they really want to say, and they have a lot at stake and they don't want to lose anything, but they do want to speak their mind. Mm-hmm. I'm seriously caught in the middle. Now, the reason why I say that is because I don't have an anonymous account, but I think before I tweet. And some people might not think I'm thinking before I tweet just because, like, what's he saying? But I do think about it. I think about, am I being mean? Am I saying something that goes against the professional standards that I live by as an educator? Like, I do consider these things before I say something. But I also am a free individual who lives in a free country. So I can say what I want, and I don't believe what I say is meant to harm people. It's tough. It's unfortunate too, because I think ultimately these anonymous accounts end up losing credibility in the end, because you don't know who's behind the curtain. And so there's a little bit of a loss of respect, even when I read something from an anonymous account and I'm like, whoa, that's bang on. What they just said is exactly what happens in real life. But would I say that out loud in a public space where people can use my words against me later if they choose to? No, I won't be doing that. So it's unfortunate that people have to be anonymous in order to feel like they can tell the truth about a particular topic or idea without being dealt with. But because you're not out there saying what you really think, then you lose accountability and respect is lost. So for all the great things that these anonymous accounts say, I really don't spend a lot of time or give them a lot of weight in general because I don't know who they are. Right? I'm at the point in my life where, you know, like a couple of times I may have tweeted about like, where are the leaders in education right now while all this stuff is happening? Why is a piddly little teacher like me saying something about this? Where are the leaders? Like, where are the principals? Where are the superintendents? Where are the directors? Where are these people? Because their silence speaks volumes. But I believe that a lot of them are probably scared to say what should be said about what's happening to education right now. You know, I think that they, maybe the professionals, they could probably still say what they want professionally, but there's probably going to be repercussions to them, depending on what they say and how they say it. But I feel like, okay, so anonymous people are going to speak up, but nobody's going to give their word any weight because nobody knows who they are. But the minute somebody reputable steps up and says something, well, you know, there's going to be two camps. There's going to be people all over you praising you. There's going to be people all over you shooting you down. So I don't know if I answered your question. I think ultimately my thinking of anonymous accounts are they spit some real good fire, but with me, they don't hold a lot of accountability or respect just because I don't know who they are. So they say stuff that I would love to say, but that I don't, because this is the face, this is the name behind the Twitter account. And I'm not looking to be disciplined at work, and I'm not looking to bring headache to my family. Like, that's not my interest.
Yeah, I think you answered it, because it was just, it's kind of an open open question. I often think about, if you ever thought of starting up an anonymous account?
Yes.
Yeah, as have I. Yeah, as
have I. Have. But then I think, but then
I don't think, have one either. I don't have one either. I'll go on record.
You know what I think? I have some vision here, which I'm really proud of. I think, okay, I could do this. But then what happens if somebody finds out that it's me? And then all of a sudden I'm accountable for all these things I've said. Like, is that really me? Do I really want to be in that position? And the answer is no, I don't. I'd rather just be who I am and say what I say and think about what I say before I say it and be prepared, I guess, for what comes my way from saying it.
Mm.
I guess, like, sometimes I'll retweet something or tweet something and I feel something inside that says, maybe you shouldn't do this. And I think, well, why shouldn't I do this? I'm a citizen, you know, I believe I'm a contributing citizen to this society that I live in. Why can't I speak my mind? Why can't I give my opinion? Why can't I lend my support to certain groups or certain ideas? If I'm not harming anybody, and I'm not, in my measure, I'm not doing anything that is bringing harm to me as a professional. Like, and it's hard sometimes. I want to say more than what I do say, but I don't say it because I know what it could lead to, and I'm just not interested in that. But I'm a tax-paying citizen. And a great example is my displeasure with our government these days. especially like our Minister of Education. I'm not a fan of his or how he operates. I'm allowed to not like how he does things, and I'm allowed to talk about how I don't like how he does things. I don't believe I'm saying anything. I'm saying my opinion, and it's respectful. I'm not calling him names. I'm not doing anything that's going to get me in trouble with my work, unless they say, hey, you can't talk about the minister. Sure, I can. I can say what I want. I don't agree with how he's doing things in education. I don't agree. I'm allowed to say that. I'm a tax-paying voter. I can say that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the only teacher that feels this way. So I guess you better start taking names of a lot of people. But that's a good example. Like, you know, I don't feel good. It seems like all my tweets these days are about the Ministry of Education and about our government and the leadership and how it's not really leading.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm allowed to do that as a free member of this society.
Yeah, I would agree. It's the, you know, the freedom that you would have with an anonymous account, what would that free you up to do, you think? I think for me, I'd swear more. I mean, on one hand, I think I'd swear more. I was trying to think of like, what would an anonymous account, like if I was being strategic, like if I was strategizing, I need to have an anonymous account. I've read the, and I understand the safety factor. There's individuals that want to be a part of the conversation. It's the only way that they feel that they can be safe in the conversation, safe in their life, safe in their workplace. I get that. I know when I first started using Twitter, I was singularly obscuring, you know, I thought about how, you know, coming in as chasing squirrels, it was my way to be in conversations that I didn't think I would have access to. So I understand the drive to sort of appear. I guess in my space, I felt like appearing as an anonymous account would make me somehow safer to interact with, or I would be able to gain access as opposed to just coming in as me, as Clough. So, yeah. What would it free you up to do?
I don't know if I'd swear more. It'd be nice to have the option to do so if I felt the need. That's, you know, so that's one thing. I think maybe I might be more blunt with my questions or my comments. I don't believe that I would be like a bully. I would like to think that I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't want to be harassing people. I would be more blunt though. I wouldn't need to choose my words as wisely. I would be anonymous, so nobody would know that I'm an Ontario teacher. Mm-hmm. So I could say what I want about education without having to consider or think about repercussions to myself or my school board or my school or the people I work with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's weird, eh? I sometimes will read tweets from colleagues that I know and trust and shake my head and think, wow, you're really leaving yourself wide open there. But that's their decision, mm-hmm. right? And they're free to make that decision. I just think I'd be more blunt. I don't think I would be, like, mean or malicious, but I might use some quality language here and there. And I might just, I don't know, ask questions that I wouldn't ask now, or I might speak some truth about my lived experience that can't come out the same way when my name and my photo are attached.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. It was, again, I think there's a real open space to be able to run around in this one. There was a very clear declaration a very clear declaration on both sides of this particular conversation that I was reading is that they both felt that they were working in step with the needs of students. And in some ways it could be measured, and they were fighting with each other in plain view. Someone mentioned that, like, both of you do similar work. How is it that you're stuck on this particular argument? Like, how how is it that you can't unlock yourself from it? I know one account a little bit more, one profile a little more deeply than the other, because the anonymous one I don't follow. I know of it because it pops up, but I don't follow it. So that was also fascinating to sort of, for somebody to put that in, saying quite clearly, both of you are fighting for the same thing. Why can't you drop this, right? Why can't you solve this? So yeah, that was interesting to sort of follow. And that's what got me thinking about, you know, what would light me up to want to have an anonymous account? So that was my topic. That's what I was wondering.
I'm glad that we could hit it. Thanks for sharing it.
Yeah, you're welcome, man.
Well, this was season 4, episode 31. Oh, what is the name of that group? I can't remember. They have a name, right? The group mm-hmm. that wears those masks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know their name?
Yep.
Oh.
You do too.
No, I don't. I can't remember.
Anonymous.
Are they just called Anonymous?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. The face is based off of, I think, a dude, Guy Fawkes.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anonymous.
Cool. Well, I'm wishing
remaining unanonymous, undecoded.
I'm wishing you a fantastic last Saturday before the break ends, before our April break ends. Good luck.
I'm really backloading the work. Like, I'm pushing off. I'm going to be doing stuff tomorrow. I told myself I was going to do stuff today. I don't know. I've tried. I've jumped in. I've done a few pieces here and there. I'm just not.
I'm definitely jumping in today. I'm definitely jumping in. There are a couple of things that if I can get done today, then I'm good. I just need, like, it's a mental game now. Like, I need to make sure a couple of things are in place. I don't want to wait. I would rather do them today so that tomorrow night I'm a little bit more relaxed kind mm-hmm. of thing. That's all. But yeah, I mean, I didn't touch anything all week. I refused to do it. I was so tired. And my family even said, like, wow, you really chilled this week. Like, we haven't seen you chill in a long time. It's like, well, it's a marathon, man. And I hit the checkpoint. So it's time to rest up and get ready for the next bit of this marathon.
Agreed. Heading back into the digital.
The digital, yeah. The digital void.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, good luck with it.
Thanks, man. You too. Great chatting with you. Take care.
You too. See ya.